And welcome back into another amazing new episode of Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have two wonderful artists joining us from the other side of the globe today. All the way from Australia, we have the producers Brent Pace and Kaylee Moore. They're part of a show called A Taste of Ireland, which is coming to New York March 8th through the 15th at the Sheen Center's Loretto Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting atasteofirelandshow.com. This is a really fascinating show and a really awesome dance show as well. So we're very intrigued and excited to be bringing you this work. And the perfect people to tell us more about it are our guests. So Brent, Kaylee, welcome on to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thanks so much for having us.
Hi.
Thank you both for getting up early to speak with us. As our sun is going down, I think yours is coming up. The time difference I know is crazy, but I really appreciate you setting some time aside to speak with us about this great show, A Taste of Ireland. Perfect timing as we slide into St. Patrick's Day here soon. So why don't we start by having you, Brent, tell us a little bit about what A Taste of Ireland is.
So A Taste of Ireland is an Irish music and dance production. It basically uses Irish dance and Irish music, and which is quite a traditional art form. And it tells the story of Ireland as a country from the birth of time right through the history of the country, right through to the modern day. It has a little bit of the audience pleasing cliche of typically what an Irish dancing show is perceived to be, you know, post 1994 Eurovision with sort of Riverdance. It has a little bit of that in there to cover all the ground, but it also is a show that develops on a lot of different storytelling depictions of the country. Irish dance is such a diverse art form. It has, you know, has light shoe, heavy shoe, which is more like tap and more like ballet, jazz, you know, then it has contemporary elements. And we've really used different art forms. We've used different production elements to bring the show to tell a story rather than it being a concert. I think a lot of people have a perception that an Irish dancing show is a concert. They're going to come and there's going to be some sing-alongs and there's going to be a few exciting little tap routines and off they go. That's not what our show is. That's why I think it's really perfect to put it in the city in the lead up to St. Patrick's Day, because I think the community will really resonate with the fact that it tells some stories. And there is quite dark elements in the show as well. You know, like Ireland's had a pretty dark history over time, right up until probably the 1970s, 1980s. And I think we really explore that, but we try to explore that in a way that is also entertaining. So it's a show that sort of has ups and downs. You know, people sometimes laugh and cry at the same time. I mean, you know, people come up to me like, oh my God, that reminded me of, you know, my granny or whatever it might be, you know, as opposed to it being a concert or a review.
That sounds amazing. That sounds like a really fun time. So I'm really excited that this is coming here. Kaylee, how did the two of you come upon this piece?
So Brent developed the show over a decade ago. It started off, you know, as a much smaller production, doing a lot of, you know, local things, which I'm sure Brent can probably speak a little bit more to you about. But it then started to develop over time. I think there was really some demand for the production. There were some people that showed some great interest. And I think Brent's interest also in directing and producing and developing also then began to kind of grow over that period in time. In, I think it was around 2017, 2018, we started to take the show really seriously. Brent had a dancing school full time and he's got rid of the dancing school. We packed up everything we owned and we moved in with my parents, which was a fun and exciting experience.
Exciting is the word.
Because we knew we wanted to take the show on the road, and we back it all financially ourselves. So we kind of had to take a lot of risks in order to be able to make that work. So in 2017, we had a Christmas show. So that kind of hit the road and was super, super successful. In 2018, we did a lot of touring with both Taste of Ireland and A Celtic Christmas. And then in 2019, we did our first fully fledged Australian and New Zealand tour, which I think was like 148 shows. So it was about 6 months. So that was when things really, really started to kick off and to really pick up for us, which was super, super exciting. Over that time as well, the production really developed. You know, it started quite small and really, really developed to be something quite larger, even with the production elements, vision, choreography, costuming, that all our show really does develop. Like if you see it from 1 year to the next, there's always changes because we're always looking to kind of make it better and better every single time. So that was all really, really exciting. In 2020, we went across to America and performed at a conference in January.
What a year.
You know, we had an agent, it was all happening, and then COVID hit. And I don't know if many of your listeners know, but Australia was very, very, very strict on COVID. So we had our first American show booked for 2021, and we literally weren't allowed to leave the country for a good few years. So some of those shows are coming up in 2 weeks. So they've been booked for a really long time. So COVID really did kind of put a bit of a stint in things for us, but we then picked it back up in 2021. We had another national tour. We launched the company in the UK as well as we went into 2022, and then picked up kind of in America in the years to follow. So I think that's a little bit of a quick overview. We did an American tour of our Christmas show last year, which was really, really successful, very exciting. And now we're heading off Broadway with A Taste of Ireland next week. So that's a quick overview of kind of a little bit of our journey and how the show's developed over time.
So wonderful. I'm so glad you're finally getting out of Australia and getting out to here. That's so great to hear. Well, I would like to come back to you, Brent, for this next question. And I'm curious to know, with the long-storied history of this production, what has it been like developing the iteration you're about to bring to New York?
Yeah, look, it started out, I started the show when I was 21, and it was probably the naivety of not really knowing what I was doing that I had that blind faith, and I just sort of went, yeah, well, I'll put a show together. I can get a cast of dancers. I can get a couple of musicians. Watch this. This is going to be fine. And I did that. And now I would not, absolutely. Now I'm like, so, you know, like hindsight is such a wonderful thing, but it can also be really stifling as well. And I think my opportunity at the time as a professional dancer was that I either join one of the world's biggest companies, and I had an offer for Lord of the Dance on the table. So it was either I join and start touring arenas and they were doing a lot of US touring at the time. It was either join that or, you know, stay at home and, you know, try and develop something myself. And I thought, I'm just going to just try do a small show and just put it in like the local theater where I was living at the time and see what happens. So my interest always laid in being a director and a producer. And I think the fact that I'm a producer, Kaylee is probably more so producer promoter. I'm more so like director producer is probably the way that we split it. And my thing was I either go and study at somewhere like the National Institute of Dramatic Art, or I kind of try. And my biggest problem was the fact that I wasn't really trained in other styles of dance. Kaylee's a triple threat. Me, I am great with a pair of like tap, you know, shoes and like kind of Irish shoes on and in that environment, but I'm specifically sort of in one area, and mine was more the acting field. So for me, I wanted to get into the directing, but I really was also interested in still doing some performing and touring. I wasn't ready to kind of go to university and settle down into something like that. So I thought, you know what, I can only dance while I'm young. Let's try and put something together. So I did that, and I started to develop the show. And what I could develop at the time was a show using the resources I had, which was non-existent. So the show that I sort of started out with was, you know, purely live. It was very limited rehearsal period. I had to almost get like friends to come and perform in it. And it was really like, and we've bootstrapped the whole thing, like from the ground up. Like we now work as producers and we produce a lot of other shows and other work, but that was my sort of organic experience into becoming a producer and director, rather than jumping on the back of a, you know, a musical as, you know, like a, as like a a water boy or a merchandiser, and then kind of getting into associate, fourth in command producing assistant coffee man, and then, kind of working my way up. I went the complete other route. And I think I also did it the other way in terms of like, I taught and I had a dance school. And then from there, I then got rid of the dance school. Whereas a lot of our friends that have toured professionally, they've toured for 10, 15 years, and now they're retired into running a school. And so I sort of did it the other way. And it's been a really hard journey, but I think the wisdom that I've learned along by all the shitty mistakes I've made along the way has really led me to the point where now I'm willing to take the step to put the show off Broadway and to go, you know what? I think that this work has developed enough. It's been 12 years in the making as a show, and we have gone from, we've changed the set, we've changed the music, we've changed the choreography, we've developed it, we've brought other art forms in, we've brought, and we also listen to the audience. For a long time, there's a traditional song called Danny Boy. And for a long time, I was like, oh, it's going to put me to sleep. I can't put that in the show. But we had so many people requesting Danny Boy. It led to some development with one of my really close friends who was also a producer for a while in the show. It led me to sit down with them and go, okay, how do we put Danny Boy in the show? And how do we put this in thematically, story-wise, et cetera, et cetera. So, it became a dreaming piece of when Michael Collins is a famous figure in Irish history. He led the rebellion in the early 20th century, where he's in prison and he imagines, he has a dream about his love that he's missed. So we incorporated it in a different way. I think for us, it's like this show, and I think the difference between this show and other shows that probably go out there is that this is constant development. It's a little bit like that Japanese methodology of Kaizen, I think they call it, where, let's add some new set pieces. Okay, I really want this lighting design. We have an amazing lighting designer who does Opera Australia and does a lot of the ballets and everything, does the Australian Ballet out here. His name's Ben Hughes. So working with some of the best and going, okay, well, now I need a better set. I need some sound design. How do we incorporate that? Okay, that costume, okay, we could do better. How can we do better? So every time we're putting the show out, we're constantly developing elements of the show to take it to new audiences. And I think different audiences around the world also expect different things, So I think an American audience, they like, a regional American audience, they love glitz. They love a bit of, they want, they're there for a show. So with, our show, Celtic Christmas, it's like, it's Christmas, it's like jingle bells, hello, here we are, And whereas like with A Taste of Ireland, when we do this, say like in inner city Sydney to an educated arts audience, it's about, we really have to work on, facials, and we really have to work on intention with performers, because when they're telling the story of the famine, you can't giggle in the middle of that, So things like that really, for us in a directorial capacity, is about how do we mold it to different audiences.
That's incredible. That is amazing. I love the thought behind all of this. Haley, I want to come back to you for this next question. I'm curious to know, has this show ever played in the US before, or is this kind of the US premiere?
This is A Taste of Ireland's US premiere, so very, very excited for it, especially because it has been so many years in the making. It was originally booked for 2021, been rescheduled 3 or 4 times, so it is the first time that A Taste of Ireland itself is coming out. A Celtic Christmas, our other show, formed in the US last year, so that has been there before, but this is the first time for A Taste of Ireland.
Amazing. So with it being the US premiere, let me ask the two of you, starting with you, Kaylee, what is the message or thought you're hoping that audiences will take away from this?
I think there's a lot of Americans that have Irish history or a connection to Ireland in some type of way. Now, it may be that their ancestors are from Ireland. It may be that they visited Ireland and they had some great memories. And one thing that we really do find that a lot of people all over the world that come to the show and say is, that they had a connection with the performance. And I think that's probably really important to us, is that they come away from the performance having had some connection with it. Now, we also have, you know, elderly ladies that bring their partners along that have no interest in coming to the show that come out of it and go, I laughed so much and I just was not expecting it to be so much fun. So it kind of, whether it's that you have a connection to Ireland on a personal level, or whether it's that you just enjoyed having a laugh with the cast members and appreciated their talent and could connect with them in some other way, I personally would just want to ensure that the audience have a connection with the production.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. Brent, how about you? What is the message or thought you hope that audiences take away?
I think mine is, I really hope that audiences in America start to perceive Irish dance not so much as a format of a show, but more so as a art form itself. And so we have different art forms that we incorporate into A Taste of Ireland. Yes, as I probably mentioned before, it has some of those cliche, you know, elements. But I think what's really important for me, and not only with A Taste of Ireland, which is, you know, our main show that we're launching now, but with some of the other shows that we're going to be bringing over in the next 2 to 3 years, is that they are branching into a completely different realm, using Irish dance as not a line of people with their arms by their side, tapping away with a man running up and down the front in an oversized shirt. That is typically what everybody thinks. They go, oh, Irish dance, that's what it is, you know? So, and I think for me, I'm like, but no, there's so much more to it. So me getting the messaging right with the future audiences, because at the end of the day, our target demographic for, say, A Taste of Ireland, or not even target demographic, but our audience, our average patron age for A Taste of Ireland is somewhere between the realm of 60 and 75, right? Now, how do we redevelop, which those people when Riverdance came out were, you know, 40 years of age and, you know, 35, 40. So it was kind of cool and off it went and they kind of stuck with it. How do we now redevelop this for our younger audiences and for the people coming through into the arts world? How do we redevelop it? You know, much the same way that Sikhs have retold us the story of Henry VIII. How do we redevelop the art form of Irish dance and make it something that is, can tell different stories and make it not a format of a show that everyone thinks, oh, I've seen it. Well, they haven't seen it because there's so many elements to, like, we have contemporary in A Taste of Ireland, which is probably our most mainstream show. We have contemporary, we have tap, we have live a cappella numbers. We have like dance-offs in the middle of the show that change every single night, depending on, you know, what things happen with some audience participation and different bits and pieces. So I think those things are really important for me from a creative perspective in ensuring that we're starting to tell the narrative of the style as an art form, rather than it being a show format that everybody's seen. That, I think, what's that movie? It's the one with Ben Stiller and he's in a duplex. It's, and he falls through the floor and he lands, and the woman that he falls through the floor is, she's this old lady watching Riverdance on the TV dancing away. And that scene there, and he goes, she's watching Riverdance. I didn't even know anyone watched that anymore, you know? And she's like 85 or something. And like, that's what people are thinking of the audience of what Irish dance is. And that's what we want to try and change by, you know, by making it a bit cooler.
And Brent said to me before that it's like saying that every ballet is Swan Lake.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not. So I think that's something that's really important, is just changing the narrative around what Irish dance is.
Every ballet is not a tutu, you know, like, and literally every, it's not a pink tutu. So every Irish show is not, you know, yeah, you get me.
It's not Michael Flatley just prancing around the stage.
Yeah, he's my dad's age. Like, they're like late 60s now, you know? So,
yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, my final question for this first part of the interview is, who do you hope have access to this piece? And Brent, I'm going to stick with you first on that.
I hope that in this piece, I want it to be accessible and understood, or not even understood, but I want to open it to people who don't just have a connection to Ireland. I want people from all. I want it to be. I think the one great thing about the Irish diaspora itself is that, like, I come from an Italian Maltese post-World War II migrant family in Australia, in the northwestern suburbs of Melbourne in Australia. And I grew up, and my mum ended up becoming an Irish dancing teacher because she went to a Catholic school in the 60s and all of her friends were Irish. And she became like the Italian Irish dancer sort of in Australia. So I think, which was very sort of strange, but so exciting at the same time, because, and then my grandparents, my whole family ended up so involved in the community. It was this big like collaboration of cultures. So I think for me, culturally, it's getting over the stereotype of, one, I have an Australian accent, so why am I doing Irish dancing? Because people think, oh, well, Irish dancing is done by Irish people, but it's not. But it's just like saying ballet is done by, you know, French and Russians or something. But I think for me, making it accessible to people who are in different communities. New York City is so diverse, and which is one of the reasons I love it. And the food, like, my favorite. But I mean, making, you know, like being able to like open that to so many different cultures and inviting them. And it's probably one of the reasons we've kept the name A Taste of Ireland. I think it's probably a generic name, and it explains exactly what the show is. It is A Taste of Ireland, and doing it over the St. Patrick's Day period is, you know, a great opportunity for that. But I really want people to be able to come and experience a little bit of Ireland, even if they're not Irish. You know, we have an agent who's based in Long Island, and she's from the Jewish community. So like she communicating to her and her learning all about the show and the story behind the show was super important for us to make sure that we married that relationship with her up solidly, so she understood the show and what it was about and why it was so culturally significant. So things like that, I think, are really important from a cultural perspective, and making sure that we really can tap into all those different audiences. Because if you go to a world championship for Irish dancing now, hypothetically in a competition setting, there's people from every country, you know, all over the world, you know, some, you know, Mexico, you know, Europe, South Africa, all over the world. So, which is.
And it certainly wasn't like that many years ago. Oh. So it kind of just does show how much things have developed over time.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love all that. Kaylee, anything you'd like to add regarding who you hope have access to A Taste of Ireland?
I think Brent kind of hit the nail on the head with that one, but I think I'd also like to go back to just kind of fostering that younger demographic, bringing them into the theatre. The theatre was such an important element of my upbringing. My mum, you know, performed on the West End. She was in the Royal Ballet. So that was how I was brought up, was in the theatre world. And it brought so much to my life as a whole and really impacted my life in so many ways. And I was very blessed in that respect, that I'd love to see that be so accessible for other younger people to get to experience the joy of theatre as well.
Second part of our interview, we love to give our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I would love to start with our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites? And since we have been speaking a lot about dance, I'd also like to throw in, you know, dancers or choreographers with that as well. And Kaylee, can I stick with you first on that? Is that all right?
Yeah, perfect.
Kaylee's a huge theater fan, so she's
every day we come into the office, there is some theater tunes pumping. So I love theater. So it's a very hard question. I absolutely love the musical Six. I love the female empowerment element. I love the stories they tell. I love the talent it showcases. I love the two young writers that put it together. So for me, that's a really fantastic starting point. I really think it pushed the limits on, you know, what had been put forward, and it certainly started some really important conversations. I love the musical score. I think all the music is absolutely fantastic. And so that's probably one of my favorite musicals and a musical that really inspired me. As far as people goes, my godmother is the resident director for a lot of really big musicals out here in Australia. She's done Wicked, she's done Annie, she's done Chicago, and she has been an incredible inspiration for me personally. I have been able to kind of see her grow and develop in the different shows along the way, but more than anything, she has a lot of really important values that she has really have been really important to her and really grounded her in her development as a person and as her development in the show business. Like, she always says her number one rules is no dickheads allowed. So we have really taken that on board. She always says, like, it doesn't matter how talented someone is, if they're not the right person, then they're not welcome here. And I've also just seen the way that, you know, a lot of people sometimes don't speak about the back end business side of things and the management of people and how all of those things really play such an important role in being able to put the show together. And I've really admired and looked up to the way that she handles a lot of those, you know, difficult situations where you have a lot of big personalities in one room, whether it's on a director level or whether it's on a performer level, and just kind of managing all those individuals to ensure that you have the best, you put the best production forward. She's done incredibly. So I really, really look up to her for, you know, not only her on a creative level, because every show I see that she does, it's amazing, but also on a personal level for how she kind of brings it all together.
That is a wonderful list of inspirations. Brent, how about you? I wonder who inspires you?
Step in Time and Mary Poppins. I'm going to start by saying the best show I've ever seen, which is like, this is probably going to be controversial, but the best show I've ever seen was Guys and Dolls at the Bridge Theatre in London, which is the immersive experience by Nicholas Hinter. I saw that about 6 months ago, and it was like, I don't know if you know about it, but it's basically like I'm sure you obviously do, but it's an immersive, and I got floor pit tickets. And I was basically so you have to move around as the show happens. I really like a combination of traditional and experimental traditional, because that's kind of what we do in all of our things. So for me, yes, I love a big main stage. I love a big Mary Poppins. You know, I love a big Chicago. Don't get me wrong, but I really love like a traditional show, a traditional story combined with a new, like if there's a reinvented, you know, immersive version of Macbeth or something like that, I'll go and see it, you know? So for me, because I want something, I don't want to just go and see a three act, you know, 6 hour play. Don't get me wrong. I will definitely go and do it, but I really want to be able to sit down and get something. I think, and I also think post COVID, people want experiences now. I mean, that's my opinion, but I think the experience side of things is so important. And I think so from an inspirational level, that's probably something that I really enjoy. I love a good sing-along, like I know all the words to Six as well, that's okay, you know, but things, you know, like with Kaylee, only because she blares it all the time, but I think, you know, I think having an experience, like I still love going and seeing shows, and I'm sure next week I'll get loads of shows in when I'm there off Broadway and on Broadway and everything, but really going and seeing different performances that have a little bit of a twist on them are probably my most, they kind of excite me the most.
I love that. Another great list of inspirations. Wonderfully put. Well, I would love to know now from the two of you, what's your favorite part about working in the theater? And Brent, I'm going to start first with you on this.
I love the process. I absolutely love the process. I think I've become a producer by default and I love it, but I like produce, but like obviously, but like my passion is directing. Whereas I think a lot of people train as a director or train as a producer. I think what I love is the fact that there's not really any rules as to what you can and can't do. And I think you can, I think it's great coming up with an idea. I think my thing is I love watching things evolve and watching growth. So for me, it's like creating a concept or an idea and being able to turn that into, and there'll be ideas when I'm like in the shower and then somehow I watch that 6, 12 months later, you know, in a show or on stage and I'm like, wow, you know, or we, you know, we experiment and we can try things out. So I think I love that and I love the process. I think I also love the fact that it is a really positive, inclusive environment. And we have a 2-year-old daughter now. And I know what it was like growing up in the dance world and growing up in the performing arts. And I think a lot of things have changed for the better. And we have a toddler who is her favorite song is now from Frozen, because we watched that on Saturday night before I fly over to New York. So finally we're getting her to sit down and watch some Disney. And so we're now getting requests for like Disney musicals in the car, which is, I was like, yes, you know, as opposed to nursery rhymes, we've progressed. So, but I think the most important, I think what's really important for me now, for Kaylee and I, as now, you know, like, as parents as well, is having a positive environment and the opportunities that it provides, that it's provided me with, you know, the people that I've met, the trips that I've been on, the experiences. I think life is about, without sounding too like fluffy here, but I think life is really about the moments. It's about those special moments, and we get those special moments every single night of the week. We get those special moments in shows, whereas, you know, if you work in an office, you might go to a wedding every so often that might, and I'm not like turning down, I'm just saying from my experience in that, and then you meet all these wonderful people who are eccentric in so many different ways. And, you know, you also, it also teaches you to be strong, because, you know, you audition for shows, you get turned down, and you meet so many different people, and you have to learn to communicate with people from all over the world, different cultures, different walks of life. And I think for us, the positivity nowadays is really outweighing the negativity. So for me, my experience in the, you know, performing arts world and the theater world, it's really from front of house to back of house is, I think, such, you can learn so many different things for it. And I think as a family person now, I definitely want to push my daughter into that. Without being pushy, you know, but, you know, push my daughter into that, you know, and give her those opportunities as well.
Gentle nudging, the, you know, should I go left or right? Well, you should definitely make a decision.
Exactly. How did you think that was? I just felt like you could point a little bit tighter on that right foot. You
know? Haley, what about you? What's your favorite part about working in the theater?
So I agree with absolutely everything Brent said. Yes. Wholeheartedly. Yep.
Wow.
Love the process, love everything it's provided. I have a little bit, I know Brent touched a little bit on it before, but I sit kind of in both the producer and the promoter space. So my background is actually in marketing. So I am purely responsible for selling pretty much every ticket to any of our shows. So I do all the marketing. And I do it when, like, everything as far as marketing goes, whether it's the Facebook ads or, you know, booking the billboards or the TV or the radio or whatever it may be. So I kind of have the back end business experience on a day to day basis, but then I also get the beauty of sitting in the theater to see it all come together. So I personally love working on the back end of things. I find it really exciting. I love opening my emails every morning and seeing, oh, how many tickets have we sold? Oh, we're not doing well there. How do I change that? So I love the challenge that it provides me with every day, but I also love knowing that these people are going to sit down and hopefully have a life-changing or an impactful experience. And I love the theater, so I love being able to just watch the show every night. And I know a lot of the time I'll be like, Brent, we need to change this, and what about this? And he's like, Kaylee. But I always look at it critically, but at the end of the day, I just love being involved in the theater. So I think we're very, very lucky to have jobs that we're so passionate about that we love.
Amen. Can relate 1,000 times over. Living in a theater household. So, a great answer. And now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
I have a couple of different favorite memories as a performer and then as a producer/promoter. So I think there's a couple of different levels. I performed with Michael Flatley in Lord of the Dance, which was an incredible moment for me personally in South Africa. That was one of my first lead performances. So that was amazing. I mean, he pretty much put Irish dancing on the map. So to be able to perform with him, that was unreal. I then, a couple of months later, got to perform the lead role of Morrigan for 300 friends and family in my hometown of Sydney. So for an international touring production, most of them don't visit Australia. It's one of the only shows in the past, 10 years that really has. We've got Riverdance coming this year, but it's a very special moment. So to have, 300 of your closest friends and family perform the role that you've, wanted to do your whole life, that was a very, very special experience. But then I think it's almost taken, those are amazing experiences, but when the tables turn and it's your own production and you have absolutely everything on the line, like we fund everything ourselves, we have a very, very talented team, very thankful for everything they do, but it's certainly when there's so much risk, it just everything weighs on you so much harder. Now that may be that we always say we have the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, because we've had moments where in COVID there was all of our performers got kicked off the flight to come to Australia and they were meant to be performing in the week and we couldn't get them on planes. So we've had literally an entire 6-month tour, pretty much almost taken away from us. So that is highly, highly stressful. But then the incredible moments, amazing. I know Brent sent me a video from a show in Birmingham. I was at home with our daughter and the entire crowd was standing up singing the Irish songs. And it was quite emotional to see people so moved by our production. I think it certainly just takes a different level on it. And as well, at the end of the day, we've got to provide for our family. We have a daughter to look after now. So there's also that side of thing that certainly takes on such a different level. So I think that it's hard to pick one moment because there are so many incredible moments. We had standing ovations in Christchurch where all the audiences are up, screaming and yelling and just seeing the impact that the show has on 2,000 people. But also at the same time, for me, I always wanted to perform on Broadway in musical theatre. That was my dream my whole entire life. So Lord of the Dance performed on Broadway and I didn't get that contract. So that was a really emotional and tough thing for me. I think as well, it was even tougher because I had so many people that got the contract that of course, they were excited, but I just felt like they didn't. I'm like, but I've wanted this my whole life, which I'm sure they did as well. But it was really devastating for me. So to sign that off-Broadway contract was probably one of the most exciting things because that's what I've wanted to do my whole life. So there's been lots of different highs and lows, but I think there's been so many incredible highs. It's hard to pick a few, but that's a few highlights for me personally in the theatre.
Those are amazing, though. I love those. And I'm so bummed you didn't get that Broadway contract. But I'm just saying.
Everything happens for a reason.
Maybe this is the future. This is what the fate working,
Exactly. Everything happens for a reason. And it was so special to sign that off Broadway contract. Sometimes when you don't get things, it makes it even more special when you do. And I think that was a perfect example of that.
Absolutely. Brent, what about you? What is your favorite theater memory?
I'm going to be honest and say, I don't know that I've made it yet. I think that I've had a lot of good memories, like opening our company and opening it, sort of my directorial debut in America last year in the States or in the UK the year before. Or I have to be honest and say, it was probably when I first started my own show. I kind of was a bit of we would use the term in Australia, a stunned mullet. And what that would be is like, you're just in shock and you're kind of like, what is happening right now? Is this actually happening? I think staging my own show at the very beginning when I had no idea what I was doing, I think that was probably such a fantastic moment for me because everybody that was in the production knew me personally. Like everyone that was in the show was like a friend or like had a personal connection. And they were like, wow. Like, and I remember like I couldn't even cast girls because dance teachers were telling their students, oh, don't do it. It's going to be crap, you know? So it was like, I think now that was probably my favorite memory. Oh, I always have great memories when I'm with Kaylee at shows. I mean, you know, I don't have to say that, do I? but I think there's a lot to come. Like I think accomplishing 100 and I think it was 132 venues, maybe 140 something shows in 2019 was massive. Like that was big. And then we did that on a tour. And you know, like my dad worked for us as a bus driver, as the coach driver, and we kind of got everybody involved in that. And we took all of our friends, kind of did the I'm going to retire from dance, but let's come on tour for 6 months, which a lot of people do as a family, say in like an RV or something. You know, it was kind of that experience. We took the coach out and we booked every theater we possibly could. I think achieving that was amazing. I'm really glad. COVID was so difficult, but I'm really glad it happened. And I say that bittersweet only because the lessons that we've learned, I think would have taken me 10 to 15 years to learn if that hadn't have happened. And I think the lessons that we've learned to be able to, you know, push to have to go off Broadway and to start touring the States. And, you know, we're going to be spending quite a bit of time over there with our shows and to push us in that direction. It's really matured us. So
definitely built resilience, put it that way.
Yeah.
And pivoting, and you know, it
pivot. That was the hot shot word, wasn't it?
Brent certainly did kind of cover it all, and it you know, you had to pivot, you had to turn, you had to be creative. How can we make this work? And it really fast tracked our learnings, you know, whether we liked it or not at the time.
Coming out of that's been the best moment I've ever had.
I love that though. That's inspired. Wonderful memories from both of you. Thank you so, so much for those. As we wrap things up here, I would love to know, are there any other productions or projects that you or your company have coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
We have a show called Tara. It's called Tara Tour de Danann, and we'll send you the Instagram. And it's an all-female Irish dance show that tells a story of five goddesses living in the modern day world. And it's basically, we've got, oh, there's like roller skating, there's like props, there's like a pole dancing pole, there's like, it's very, very different.
It is not, when we say what people would expect from Irish dancing, it is not what you would expect from Irish dancing. It pretty much kind of embodies everything that we've spoken about challenging the norms. It covers a lot of different really important topics, whether it's
a bit like Captain Planet. There's like all the characters and they all have like an element of the world, and they all
and like we discussed global warming, female empowerment. There's so many different really important topics that we discuss and kind of portray throughout the show that we want to start conversations, and we want to use Irish dancing as an art form to kind of do that. So that's something that's really exciting that, you know, it's been in development. We did a conceptual showcase to start to build it all, and that's certainly starting to ramp up later into this year. So that's a very exciting project that we're working on at the moment.
That sounds amazing. Oh my gosh, that's incredible. I cannot wait to look into this. That leads to my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about A Taste of Ireland or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
So we are on, A Taste of Ireland is on Facebook, Instagram, wherever, TikTok, wherever you look at your social media things.
Shall I just say that it's now the third most followed Irish dancing show in the world behind Riverdance and Lord of the Dance.
So yes, it's
something we're pretty proud of. I think we only got to third place last like two weeks ago.
Yep.
So
it is A Taste of Ireland Company on both Facebook and Instagram. If you want to follow me personally, it's Kaylee Emily Moore, but it's spelt very different. Kaylee is C-E-I-L-I. So on Instagram. And Brent?
Yeah, you can follow me on Brent Anthony Pace on Instagram or connect with me on LinkedIn. You know, because I'm like a producer and all, so I use LinkedIn.
Well, wonderful. Well, Kaylee, Brent, thank you both so, so much for taking the time to speak with me. Thank you for sharing this incredible show. I'm so excited for it to come here to New York and for you two to return and for the future of this and all your productions. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks so much for having us.
My guests today have been the incredible producers, Brent Pace and Kaylee Moore, whose show A Taste of Ireland is making its U.S. debut here in New York on March 8th through the 15th at the Sheen Center's Loretto Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting atasteofirelandshow.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But this is an incredible show. It will get you in the spirit for St. Patrick's Day. It's just an incredible work of art. You're going to want to check it out. The show is A Taste of Ireland, and it's playing March 8th through the 15th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.